is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is...
Today's show is brought to you by Pekarsky Orthodontics. Dr. Pekarsky has been voted by New Jersey Monthly Magazine as the top orthodontist in 2011 and 2012. Dr. Pekarsky has two great locations, one in Wayne, New Jersey at 150 Hinchman Ave. Their telephone number is 973-942-0900. And also visit him at his new location at 5677 Berkshire Valley Road in Oak Ridge, New Jersey. Their telephone number is 973-545-2391. And also visit him on their website at www.pekarskyortho.com today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for the great introduction, as always. It's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Today I have a very, very special guest who is the founder of Special Travelers. She is has a BA in special education from New Jersey City University, and she earned a New Jersey Teacher of the Handicapped certification. She also went on to hold a coordinator's position for the Regional Autism Collaborative in Vermont and acting as a consultant to schools and families and mental health and medical professionals to help raise the level of awareness and services to children with the autism spectrum disorders. I'd like to welcome to the program Megan Mulvena.
Hi, Paul. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you on today, Megan. I know you've been really working very hard on this program that you started with Special Travelers, and it's a multifaceted thing that you're doing. First, I'd like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started and got involved in the autism field.
Absolutely. Well, I've been in the field for about 20 years now. So back when I was in high school, really, I had to do some community service hours. And I knew from a fairly early age that I was actually going to work in special education. I think I was around 9 or 10 years old, where I had known someone with a developmental disability, and someone had explained to me that they're people that never grow up. And I was fascinated, and I said, that's going to be my tribe. So in high school, when this opportunity came around, I went to the ARC, which today I would still say is just a phenomenal, you know, organization that really does so much work. And the option was to work with older adults with developmental disabilities or children with autism. So I said, well, I'll work with autism because I wanted the children, but I had no intentions of staying. You know, I had seen Rain Man. I was probably a little scared. And I said, let me just, you know, do the hours and then I'll go. And everything but that happened. I just absolutely fell in love with it. I fell in love with the children, with the entire community. I went on to become a respite provider through the ARC and started working very closely in homes with families of kids with autism and other developmental disabilities. And just being in their what I call the real world, you know, just doing, you know, mealtime and bath time and going out to stores and, you know, all the kind of everyday life, I really got a sense of really what it's like to support children with disabilities at that very core level. And those early experiences really shaped my career. And that's really what I'm coming back to now with Special Travelers 20 years later. So.
No, it's pretty amazing because, you know, what you're really doing with this program is really bridging the gap between learning in the classroom and living in the real world, which is so, so important for these individuals with special needs.
Yeah, Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, from those early experiences, once I got into the classrooms and started teaching and then consulting, and as you mentioned, you know, I was coordinator for an autism collaborative in a very rural setting. And then I also returned to the New York, New Jersey area where I'm from originally and was educational director of a private company and earned my master's in organizational behavior. So I was doing a lot of consulting with school districts and sitting down with special ed directors and talking about services and helping everything from inclusion support to, you know, really designing behavior intervention plans. And I loved it. I still love the piece of how can we help this population move forward. To not get stuck where they get stuck was really kind of a passion of mine. And that's where the whole behavioral piece really is our responsibility. But what I consistently found that disconnect was still then all this effort that we put in from 8 to 3 every day. How do we still then go home? How do we function in the afternoons? How do we go out into the community on the weekends? How do we go to family events? And eventually, of course, I worked up to how do we go on vacations? And it just really emerged. The more families I worked with, I still did a lot of home consulting. So I would do home programs, and then I would also work with, you know, their child on the school level if they wanted that. So seeing kind of both worlds and only one child, I kept going, but it's only one child. You know, we need to get on the same page and we need to really wrap around what their life could look like if we really paired the skills that we're teaching them with the experiences that we're giving them. And I still find that to be just a huge need in this community. And as the numbers keep growing, and of course, you know, if you think of the span of 20 years, the young ones that I first started with when they were 2 and 3 years old are now aging out. And I have parents asking me about adult services and, you know, that whole discussion, which is huge right now. And I'm faced with it even more, those real life scenarios. Are we prepared for it? Did we prep them, you know, with the right skills? And then are we finding ways to really apply those skills? So that's the community piece. And again, the quality of life piece that's so critical to special travelers.
Mm, that's great. And it's so important. And it's very scary for parents, you know, to think about that after 21, you know, and a lot of parents are very, very fearful of it. And I'm one of those parents myself. It's a very, you know, what's going to happen? You know, what kind of tools are we going to have for our kids, you know, at that point? Because they're going to need continuing their education after 21 for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the program, specifically the special travelers, and kind of like how that idea came about and how it was conceived.
Yes, great. Again, it was a real life experience. I was actually working with a little boy in New Jersey, and I was at that point managing the home program for him. I believe he had a supplemental program, maybe 20 hours a week or so, team of instructors, ABA based. And then I was also consulting with the school district and really trying to help the school program, you know, support his individual needs and, you know, talk in terms of socialization, you know. And it was always, you know, a priority for me, again, even at a programmatic level, that they looked fairly similar. You know, we were working on a similar level and really approaching him and his possibilities, you know, not just where he's at. We keep talking about present levels and where he could be, you know, and I think it was so important to be on the same page with an educational team like that. So I was doing both parts of his educational program like that, and the opportunity came for the family to go on vacation and for me to go with them. And the concern was, at that point, he had some emerging skills, really kind of working very intensely on some of the abstract skills. At that point, I believe it was like categories and colors and functions of objects, really trying to connect with him what's around him in the world and how he's using it. And very minimal speech, very, very sweet boy, but really we felt really needed the consistency. In other words, to step out of that programmatic condition for the 10 days, he probably would have regressed. You know, so the opportunity came to go with them, to accompany them on the vacation. So So it was the first time I had done it from a programmatic point of view. In respite, I had traveled with families a number of times. And, you know, I considered it, you know, an extra set of hands, and it was very successful. But this was the first time where I was really kind of looking from the point of view of how can we maintain the progress that he's been making, and not lose ground, and also generalize. So we're in all these new rich settings of a vacation. How can we generalize what we're asking him to hold as information? And I promise you, I got more accomplished with this little boy on the beach and in the restaurants and at the pool than I was getting done in both these other educational conditions. And the only thing I could really attribute to was that it was just, it was in the real world. And it was, he was so motivated and just, I think maybe just connected, you know, to the place that he was, that, you know, the interactions and the communications, it no longer felt like work, right? We weren't sitting at a table and small chairs and doing the drill. We were out. We were out in the world, and it was just so productive. I just said, you know, this is more, again, this is a quality of life piece that's not happening right now for families. And it also ties in that, that life skill that I think is, you know, is so important. So to bring them into new experiences and to still have that focused eye as to what they're learning, what they could be learning, you know, and what we need, it, it gives you that opportunity to see what I call those gap skills, you know, to go, okay, he could use a little more awareness in this area. And we won't know that until we step out of what we've always done, you know, to see where those areas are. So it was such a successful trip that I really wanted to continue to offer that service to families. So along with the community piece, we also do the traveling with families and children.
Wow, you know, you would think probably most professionals, you know, would think that would be a big distraction for a child, right? Being outside of their schools, which they're used to, because, you know, you know, a lot of times, you know, we have a thing about, you know, the doing the same thing and repetition, and you know, the child doesn't like change, and you know, but you know, it's kind of interesting what you stumbled across by taking them out of that environment in a you would think where, you know, you bring them to the places like a beach would be like oversensory for them, you know, with the sand, mm-hmm. the waves, the water, the sun, you know, like so much action going on that they'd be more distracted.
And I guess perhaps so, the, again, the vision for it and the support for it. So a lot of what we talk about through Special Travelers is we're not talking about just kind of, you know, bringing them out there and saying, okay, you know, let's show us. It's really a structured level of support to bridge that gap for them. So because I was there focused on how can I maximize this environment, it didn't get overstimulated for him. You know, I was able to kind of really hone in on some specific interactions and, you know, sensory pieces that were motivating for him, but that still included me. So, and that's really what we're looking at. You know, we're looking at how can we, and it's what I think we look at for neurotypicals, you know, how do we enjoy what we like in the company of others? So, you know, for a child who has, you know, sensory overload, it doesn't mean that maybe all of those experiences are negative for him, but they need to maybe be broken down or they need to be layered for him in a way that they're all not all coming to him at once. And when you pair that with the social reward and motivation to communicate, then you're creating conditions that are useful for them, that are not overwhelming. And it's an interesting point. And like I said, I think, you know, it could be maybe apprehensive for some, but I would invite people to just kind of move past if it's a fear or this reserve of maybe they can't do it, because that's when we know if they can. You know, I was, I want to thank you particularly for, it's April 2nd today. I'm not sure when it will air, but it's World Autism Awareness Day. And it's such an important day for me because I've done some international advocacy and work. And I remember when I was presenting at an international conference in Ghana, actually, it was the inaugural event for the Autism Society of West Africa. Phenomenal accomplishment for them to even pull that together, and it included, I think, about 8 or 9 different countries. And the last day of the event was a celebration. And I spoke with families for the 3 or 4 day conference, and I kept saying, you know, we're going to bring our children to the event, right? And they said, oh, no, they don't they don't go to these things. I said, well, they do today. You know, we need to have them there, and we need to move past this reservation of what's going to happen, because if we don't bring them into that condition, we'll never know what's going to happen. And if we don't know what's going to happen, we don't know how to help it, you know. So I'm sensitive to that, and I'm also, you know, inviting the community to really start moving forward with that, you know, that reservation of how it will go, because I think that's our rich opportunity to figure out what more we need to do.
No, that's true. You know, it's like it's kind of like you stumbled across something very important here, is to open up a child's learning environment, you know, and kind of like, you know, those fears, overcome those fears of bringing them out into public places and to, you know, settings that normally, I guess, parents wouldn't be comfortable bringing their child to, you know, because let's face it, what you're doing with your training with the special travelers, these are real-world situations, you know. Unless you're going to have your child sheltered its whole life, which is no life at all, you know, I think that's very important. I really think what you're doing, Megan, is really, really important.
Yeah, and it's, you know, again, we just heard last week, you know, with the CDC and also, again, worldwide. The reason I was in Africa, I did advocacy work in Southeast Asia. Every continent, you know, the statistics of autism are up. You know, some are more, you know, we can count them better, you know, because of where we're at, you know, in terms of development. But anecdotally, we know that, you know, it's up all over the world. So we can't. I don't think we are going to have the liberty or the ability to take an entire population and just not bring them into experiences. And I don't think, you know, it really dignifies their story. You know, it doesn't dignify the abilities and the specialities and the gifts that they could be contributing if we don't give them that chance. And so I think it's really critical, especially at this time, that we do move past that and we do keep inviting them. We keep inviting them to show up and we help them to show up.
And that's great. You know, Megan, what are you currently working on, and what's your future plans in the next, you know, 6 months that you're planning on doing with the program?
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, right now we're in the process of basically, you know, getting it out there a little bit more in terms of, in honor of Autism Awareness Month. You know, that first trip that I did was back in 2007. And since then, I've continued. I've been working in nonprofit work, especially coordinators, and working on some private projects, again, still in the education field. And now it's really time for this really to be my focus and to really offer this to the community as a service. So it's really just, you know, spreading the word about it, finding out how, again, that community piece, we're, you know, in communication with Autism Speaks about some grants for the community piece of it, finding out how we can kind of take this vision and, you know, and this maybe a perspective of what the community needs, and I think what the statistics are asking us for, and really pair that with what's already happening. I'm going to be meeting with the Autism Consortium through Harvard tomorrow, and just brainstorming, you know, hearing what they're doing, hearing, you know, what Special Travelers has to offer, and just trying to make those contacts, you know, and make it that this community that we're aware of the numbers. But I think what's facing us is, what are we going to do with the numbers? You know, we need to move on beyond the counting of who we have and say, what are we going to do with them and for them? And that's the big focus.
No, that's so true. I mean, that's like really very important. You know, one of the things is that if, you know, parents are listening to the broadcast and listening to you today, how do they get in touch with you to acquire your services? Like, say they want to do a vacation, or if they want to do something with you with your Special Travelers program, how would they contact you?
Sure. Well, they can go to our website, which is www.special-travelers.org. They can email me personally, which is specialtravelers@gmail.com. And those are the two best ways, really. If you go to our website, it'll break down all of our services, from the travel being one part, home and community, which is another part, and then consultation. So we're really looking forward to, you know, speaking with parent groups and agencies that are interested in more of how do we integrate, you know, individuals into the communities, and to share some of our tips, because we certainly know there's some families that may not be able to travel or bring someone with them, but there's not tips that we've learned from our experiences that we're happy to share. So So the website will give you a little more in terms of what the services look like, and then just reach out. And, you know, we really prioritize after 20 years of looking at so many different IEPs and so many different children, as young as 20 months old up until their early 20s, I've served and had the honor of really getting to know individualization is really the main key. So whatever people are looking for is what we try to work with, you know, within those umbrellas of services.
Now, Megan, are you also currently working with any other therapists that work in your program with special travels as well, or is it only yourself right now?
You know, at this point, we're building. So we definitely have, there's a number of people that are involved in terms of the development and, you know, thinking what's going to be the best way to really build it. We really want to make sure that the people that we bring on really hold the vision of what we're trying to do, which is the quality of life piece, and that are very comfortable in that family dynamic. Because there are certainly some people who work with children that are most comfortable just in the school setting. And then there's other people that would work very well in family conditions and in the community. So it's finding that right fit, but we're doing a lot with it right now, so it's very exciting. So if there are people that hear about it and are interested in what the support system of it would look like, feel free to reach out to us too.
Yeah, because that's another good point. You know, there might be someone out there who's an educator that might be hearing this broadcast and say, wow, this is something I really would love to do. You know, get
Absolutely.
Out of the classroom and just break the mold and do something completely different.
Absolutely. And what's nice about it is, again, you can do it, you know, part-time. And, you know, if we have, you know, a family that contacts us for a certain, you know, trip in the summer and the teacher is off that summer. So it's, again, you know, I can't use the word enough, but it's a community effort. So really that's what we're looking to build. And, you know, we just trust that everybody will find what they're really meant to be doing. I think that's the key. And I think for individuals with autism, it's the same if we give them that chance.
No, that's great. I mean, this special travelers program that you started, Megan, just seems amazing. And then, like, you're still only scratching the surface with it. And I really see this really being blossoming into something pretty amazing.
Thanks.
From what you've already done, you know, with a few children. I mean, it's pretty incredible. You know, the results seem to be there.
Right.
So this is a whole new approach. I think that, like I said, I've never heard of it, you know, and I've been doing this broadcast for many years, and I've never heard of something like this being done. So this is a first. So this is pretty neat to find out about something like this. So I think it's exciting. And I think a lot of people, you know, they might say, you know, they're worried about their children during the summer, you know, when there's that lull or that break, and, you know, they do go away, but this might be something that, you know, even if they go away for a couple of weeks, maybe, you know, they use your services for a week to come out with them and work with their child.
Absolutely.
You know,
I've done that with families. We do part of it. And, you know, we pick the times that is needed most. Absolutely.
Now, this service is also available to anyone in the country, or is there limitations on where?
Right now, Special Travelers Home Base is actually in the Washington, D.C. area for the community and family home services. The travel services are available, we're saying, at least East Coast right now in terms of just really establishing a relationship. But the travels can go anywhere. So, for example, I'm working with a family right now in Miami and, you know, might be heading to Romania soon. So, you know, wherever the needs are is where we'll go. It's just kind of where we're at geographically, and then we're developing a number of systems just how to really stay in touch with people and be able to do intakes and assessments and get to know who you are if you're interested in that travel component.
No, that's great. I mean, it's very exciting, you know, Megan, what you've created here, and we'll definitely be want you to have you back on the program at Hope Saves the Day to talk about it. And we'll be sure to post all your information on autismradio.org. So anybody listening, you'll be able to read all this information. We'll also put the link to the website, so you'll be able to click right there and go right to the website and find out more information. This is just an amazing program, and we really thank you, you know, Megan, for coming on the program today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, especially on World Autism Awareness Day. It's a very special day in my heart, so I appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. We want to wish everyone out there, you know, a great World Autism Awareness Day and also Autism Awareness Month of April.
Absolutely. It's a whole month of celebration.
Absolutely. And it's people like Megan who are making just such a huge difference in the autism community, and we really want to thank her again for all the work that she does.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, and thank you to you and all the work that you're doing. Great service.
Well, we'd like to thank Megan Mulvenia for all her great work in the autism community, and be sure to visit the Special Travelers, which you'll be able to get all that information on the autismradio.org's website. And remember, and everyone, we'd like to thank everyone again for their continued support here on the program. And remember, until next time, everyone, hope saves the day. Have a great week, and have a good night, everyone.
Hello, everyone. This is DJ Svoboda speaking. I am very sorry that I wasn't able to leave a lot of messages for the Word of Hope. It's just that our mission to help those with autism around the world has just grown so big, the schedule has been quite busy, too. But I wanted to call and wish all of you a very incredible and amazing and very awesome Autism Awareness Month. Remember, even all those with autism, disability, and special needs have a great and wonderful and amazing place in this world. For they, too, are very, very special the way they are, and they, too, can fulfill their biggest, biggest dreams, which is never impossible. And yes, it is true, even they can make a huge and very powerful difference, too. And that is no lie. Happy Autism Awareness Month to all of you. And may it be a great and amazing, incredible month for all of you. God bless.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand. What is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me, yeah. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day.